WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
We're back live at the Center for Leadership Development, 239-1310, 239-1310. This afternoon's name is, you want to make a donation to the Center for Leadership Development and their programs. Their website is cldinc.org, cldinc.org. Dennis Bland is here. We've got certified counselors with and the folks from the College Prep Institute, which is something that's available in the hours that CLD is open here at their offices at 2425 Dr. Martin Luther King Street. Dennis Bland, we're hearing that on November 18th they're calling a summit, the My Brother's Keeper, Your Life Matters summit, to as part of the president's effort to what can we do to lift up the status of males in this country, predominantly African American, but males of color. From the perspective of this organization that's been dealing with males and females for almost four decades, as we look at the various problems impacting African American males in the city, from your perspective at CLD, what should be brought up in this summit in terms of positive ideas, in terms of uplift?
Amos, as a community, I think we have to be very intentional about being aspirational where black males are concerned. If you look at a lot of the ideas and suggestions that come forward, we are well-meaning, but a lot of what we do is really reactionary to crisis. So let's give our young people something to do. Let's keep them occupied, kind of the common language. Let's keep them busy. Rarely do you hear thoughts about ideas that are really ambitious, where you have a lot of thought leaders who come together and say, this is what we're going to do to really elevate the aspiration and take our young people higher. So there needs to be programming around that effort. I also think there's an opportunity to really acknowledge where our males are before we can begin to implement solutions. And I think one of the biggest challenges where our young men are concerned that we rarely talk about is this total sense of abandonment that so many of the males face, because if you look at the demographics and you see the numbers that say anywhere from 50 to 70 to 80% of African-American males do not live with their fathers. That's a profound social and familial hurt. And a number of males tend to act out that hurt in different ways, from violence to truancy to the expulsions and suspensions, even the abuse of females. And so if we are not as a community prepared to deal with the holistic challenges of African-American males, then it becomes difficult to actually create solutions that's going to resonate with them.
Is that one of the reasons CLD, maybe not an indirect reason, CLD is trying to reconnect with alumni? You're trying to reconnect with alumni, A, to probably let alumni know, one, it's still around, two, it's evolving, it's growing, but also to have a record of this is how these men and women have succeeded. Does that also help to be able to show young men of color, here's somebody that walked the shoes you walked in, had the same kind of problems you have, they made it?
That's critical, the modeling. It's also critical when African-American males see these high-achieving males come back. Going back to our earlier conversation, the fact that those achievers come back and give their time to the adolescent male, that resonates deeply with a lot of the young males, because, again, remember, a lot of the young males are dealing with experiences where adult males have abandoned them. They have left their lives. And so even when you see African-American males come around, initially there's some hesitancy, because that's unfamiliar with them. But then as they begin to interact with the male role models, the successful males, as they begin to see these successful males giving help, encouragement, guidance, sometimes even summer jobs and internships, then these young people really began to embrace those males, because not only have they achieved, and not only because they're teaching them how they can achieve, but because they have taken the time to say, I really do care about your life and your future. And that goes a long way in helping these young people succeed. So you're absolutely right. We're intentional about getting as many males as we can into CLD, so that they can begin to provide positive seeds of influence to our young people, with the hope that the young people will grow from that, but then also with the hope that our young people will begin to see their peers in the same attitudes that they are getting from our male role models.
And from the standpoint of Reggie Session of the College Prep Institute, how important is it for potential college students to be able to talk to, network, or even text those who are in college or who are recently graduated of college to kind of get some sense of what it's all about?
It's absolutely crucial. One of the things that we know is that when a young person goes to college, there's several things that need to be in place. Educationally, they need to be solid. Socially, they need to be solid. And in a lot of cases, a young person who's in college or who just recently graduated from college can really connect with a young person and talk about some of the social challenges, some of the decision-making, some of the transitions I had to make from being a great high school student to now I'm a college freshman, and what that transition looks like. What happens a lot of times is young people educationally may be pretty solid, but when they get on those college campuses, they're not ready to make the transition that it takes to be successful on the college level. That's one of the things we try to really impress upon young people here in the College Prep Institute. You were a great high school student. Congratulations. Now it's time to step the game up, because the college experience is going to be quite a bit different than the high school experience.
Is it also in terms of preparing young people for college? You know, this is Indiana, this is Indianapolis, so everybody kind of gets in this mindset, I want to go to IU or Purdue or Ball State or IUPUI or Indiana State. Those are all huge schools, and sometimes you get lost in a 30 and 40,000 person campus, but the smaller schools tend to be more expensive in terms of the parent. How do you balance out if a young person comes to you or the parent comes to you, and maybe the smaller school will be better, the larger school, they might get lost and then they end up dropping out, and then they get counted as some college in the statistics. A third of African Americans have had some college, but then there's that huge gap down to those that actually make it after 4 years.
Mr. Brown, when I'm meeting with students and meeting with the parents, help them to understand, first of all, this is a home away from home. So it's imperative that they visit and actually feel themselves on campus, see themselves on campus, see if they have the right resources available to them. If they know for certain that they're not the big campus person, that's okay. It's okay to go to the smaller school where you feel like you're going to be more than just a number. Because in some instances, that's what happens with a lot of our students. They become a number and become swallowed up on that big campus.
How important also, because I think some of you all mentioned advocacy, is it important to teach not just the parent, but more importantly to teach the young person? If the young person, when they have been in high school, have relied on the parent to be the advocate. In other words, mama goes up to the school to see about me. Daddy goes up to the school. Ain't grandma go up to the school. When you get to college, mama, grandpa, and Aunt Maybell ain't there. It's the kid. How critical is it for that student to understand waits on you?
It's very critical, and we also try to empower our students. So as Ms. B stated earlier, we have workshops about how to go on a college campus. We had a workshop called Campus Visits A to Z. So we are trying to teach our students to ask those proper questions, so when they go on that campus, they know how to be empowered and how to navigate for themselves. So we just once again want to tell everyone, always come in so we can prepare you to ask those difficult questions and be able to excel in college.
Another thing, when you in College Prep Institute, we're counseling on, it's say that, you know, the state students got the grades, the students got, you know, the colleges are after them. Please come here. Here's money. Throw it after. So you know they're going. Where's the part to teach you how to deal with the roommate and how to deal with the dorm experience? Because just throwing two people together don't mean they're going to get along.
Sure. And as mentioned earlier, the College Prep Summer Academy program really addresses those issues that students are going to face as they transition into college. So how do
what is this program, and which summer? Is that the summer after you get your diploma and go, or is that the summer before junior to senior year?
It is open to 10th to 12th grade students as well as college freshmen, and it takes place in the summer months of June, but really it is designed to address those recent high school graduates who are now rising college freshmen.
On how to deal with all of that.
Yes, and more.
The stuff, they don't put that in a book. That's not that nobody has done a reality TV show freshman in. I'm surprised nobody's done freshman in college. 239-1310, 239-1310. We're talking about education. We're talking about the Center for Leadership Development. If you just tuned in, a unique resource that's been around 38 years that has touched tens of thousands of African-American young men and women, many of whom are now moms and dads. They got families of their own. They're working everywhere. All kind of places. And CLD wants to reconnect to those of you who have been through CLD programs going all the way back to 1977. And even if you were in CLD programs last year, you're a CLD alumni. You can get engaged as a CLD alumni. Go to their website at cldinc.org. That's cldinc.org. You can also use that website to find out more information about the programs of the Center for Leadership Development, as well as donate. They'll take your donation, they'll take a check, they'll take dead presidents, and they'll take Visa, MasterCard, and whatever color of an American Express card you have. 239-1310, 239-1310. Get you in touch with the conversation. We'll take a break. When we come back, some alumni who went through CLD when they were very young, they weren't wearing outfits like this that they got on today. In fact, they want to make sure there are no pictures of them in those outfits. We'll hear from them. It's Afternoons with Amos. More after these.
Hello, this is Maggie Lewis, president of the City County Council. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
Got some great alumni, as well as I'll tell you about the alumni programs of the Center for Leadership Development. Well, let me go to the phones at 239-1310, 239-1310. A.J. Moore, you're on the air. Go ahead. A.J., are you there? We must have answered A.J.'s question. It's amazing how these things work. See, there we go, 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. Terry Kenny is head of Fund Development and Alumni Relations Coordinator for the Center for Leadership Development. Tamisha Allen, who is a CLD alumni from 98, that's one of them good years, is a Fund Development Assistant. And we got two folks from IU Health, which means nobody is running IU Health, because the folks that run IU Health, they're CLD alumni, and they're out here. Kelvin Wade, who is the current CLD Alumni President, and Steve Jones, the past Alumni President. Welcome to everybody. Terry Kenny, how important is this effort to try to reconnect with CLD alumni?
It's very important. We are currently right now trying to reconnect with all of our alums, and what we're doing is we're asking, if you're an alum, please go to our website and update your information, because we track our alums. Part of our tracking is our alumni benchmarks. So we like to know which of our alums have graduated from high school and who has graduated from college. And our funders are also interested in that. So their information is very important to us. So we urge everyone, please go to our website and update your information.
Is part of that to document what people who have been through CLD already know, that it does make a difference in a young person's life?
Absolutely.
Because now there's two people here that it made a difference in the life. Kelvin Wade, how did CLD help you to be the Director of Patient and Visitor Services at IU Health?
Well, that's a great question. I think that went through the programs at Center for Leadership Development, it really helped me to see myself in a more professional role. When I was a young man, I never thought that I had that opportunity. And then as I learned the lessons and went through the facilitations
and began to interact with other people, I realized that I could have a professional goal. I could set my marks high, and I could achieve those things. And so that was my interactions with CLD was the first time that I really saw myself as a professional, and I knew that my bounds were limitless.
How important is it, programs like this, particularly programs where young people today get information imparted by people that they can see, hey, if they made it, I can make it?
I think it's critical. As I said, even in my experience, when I saw myself interacting with different professionals and saw myself in those roles, I see that same thing when I facilitate and when I interact with young people through CLD. They come in and they may not see themselves as having the potential, but then after interacting with other people and after going through the curriculum, they begin to understand that they can achieve great things, and I've seen them do that.
So wait a minute, did I hear you say you have been a facilitator or are a facilitator?
I have been a facilitator, and that's the great thing about volunteering for CLD. You know, as your time allows, if you have the time to facilitate, then and you can make that commitment, then that's great. But if you don't have that time, you can give back in other ways. So, you know, I've made a personal commitment to stay involved and stay connected with CLD because it's made such a great difference in my life.
How did being a facilitator, working with young people, how did that help you in the day gig?
Well, it helped me with understanding the mindset of some of our young people. And believe it or not, I was able to take those lessons and work with my teams at work. And the lessons that I learned in building relationships, problem solving, and just, you know, dealing with the rigors of young people helped me to, you know, apply those things even in the workplace.
So, Terry, this could be something where for an alumni, because sometimes folks that are in business, folks that are successful, they say, you know, how is working with young people going to help me get over in the job I have to do? And what I'm hearing Kelvin say is that opportunity could help with the day job, could bring, reinforce the skills you have and maybe bring some skills to the fore that the alumnus didn't realize they had.
Absolutely. Many times when you go through a program, sometimes you forget the things that you learned, and so when you're interacting with the students, it helps to bring back what you learned, and then also it just helps individuals to stay sharp in the workplace. When you're working with young people, they absolutely keep you on your toes. So, you know, I think it's a win-win for both the student as well as for the alumni facilitator.
239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon's name is, let me go over here to Brother Steve Jones. One of the other things, how did your CLD experience help you? Because you one of them system vice presidents over at IU Health. How did that help you, and why does somebody that has a position up in what some of the listeners might say is rarefied air, why reach down and give back?
Clearly, CLD was the organization that allowed me to understand how important giving back to the community was and continues to be. As someone who has grown up in the Indianapolis community and found myself always being surrounded by people who cared about me, took an interest in showing me a better way to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish, there's nothing better that I can do on a regular and consistent basis than give back to CLD. And so it was the CLD experience that opened my eyes to new opportunities. It set some new horizons for me, things that I had not considered. I thought when I was in high school that I wanted to be an engineer. I was going to go to General Motors Institute. I was going to be an engineer and go into the co-op program so I could get a car. I realized after spending some time with engineers at GM through the role model experience program at CLD, that was not something I really wanted to do. I was focused on having a car in the co-op program because I'm a car guy. But I realized that I'm more of a people person, and it opened my eyes to some doors. Ended up getting the West Montgomery Scholarship through Merchants National Bank at the time. Thought I was going to go into banking, but it was a lot of the exposure at CLD that just helped me know that I was more of a people person instead of sitting at a desk with some drawings.
Let me go over and ask Tamisha Allen, in terms of your role, as working with alumni? And there may be alumni listening going, yeah, but I'm busy. I got my own work and family, and I'm struggling. I got the mortgage. I got two cars, and I'm paying preschool tuition. I can't donate. How important is it? Somebody once told me it's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. Even if you only got $5, send the $5.
Exactly, because every dollar counts. I think that the importance behind the Center for Leadership Development is reconnecting not only with the alumni, but also the individuals who basically understand the foundation of CLD. And I also think that the importance of strengthening one another and building those networks from new to old and enlightening and understanding that we all are together. We're in this thing together.
You know, Dennis Bland, somebody slipped Dennis Bland, because he's always liking information. He knows I like information. Somebody slipped Dennis Bland. This is like a David Letterman thing. These are your top 10 schools that provide participants overall to CLD?
Correct.
All right, so if we were David Letterman, we would start with number 10, which is Shortridge Magnet High School for Law and Public Policy. That's an IPS school, by the way. Number 9, Broad Ripple, the High School for the Arts and the Humanities. Number 8, Charles A. Tinley, the original, because you know there's 500 Tinleys now, the original Charles Tinley Accelerated School. Then number 7, Lawrence North. Number 6, Warren Central. Number 5, North Central. That's going to make everybody North Central, because they, you know how North Central is. They think they're number 1 all the time. Number 4 number 4 moving upward, Arsenal Tech. Oh, that's you?
That's right.
That's you.
Tech Titans in the house.
Tech Titans in the house. That's an IPS school. Number 3, Ben Davis, West Side, Wayne Township. Number 2, Pike High School. That's all the Pike. And y'all are not going to believe us, number 1. All you Tiger alumni that are listening, number 1 with the most participants in CLD programs this year in 2014, Crispus Attucks Medical Magnet School.
Attucks is our neighbor. They have been wonderful. They're just right down the street. And they have really, the administration, once they learned about the depth of the programming that CLD offers, once they learned about how much CLD was actually helping their own students to become better students inside of Crispus Attucks, then the administration made up its mind it was going to be resolute in getting as many students into CLD as they could. And so they are really committed. And you also see Ames, that's 11 different counties beyond the school. CLD is touching 11 different counties in terms of young people and parents who are participating. So the reach is broad, and it's getting broader.
See all those Attucks Tigers, you know, their buttons just popped out and everything. From the organization standpoint, and Dennis, you meet with a lot of donors and potential donors. How important is this alumni effort, or the effort to document CLD successes? I know a lot of times nonprofits, not just minority nonprofits, say this is what we've done, and it used to be that was sufficient to get dollars, but more and more I understand that companies are wanting to know, document what it is y'all have done.
More so than ever before, as everyone gets deeper and deeper into analytics and data and results, one of the greatest results the Center for Leadership Development could ever provide is the current life of young people, or the current life of now adults who've gone through the CLD experience. Since CLD's mission is to help cultivate business, professional, and community leaders, then these funders and potential donors want to know whether or not your track record is good in actually having alumni who are business, professional, and community leaders. And so when someone sees a Steve Jones or a Kelvin Wade or a Pastor Jeffrey Johnson, then they begin to understand, well, wow, if these are the types of individuals who are coming out of this program, then number one, we want to support it, and number two, we want to make sure that we get a number of young people into the program today with the hope that they will also become business leaders.
over the last decade, decade and a half, well, for nearly 35 years, CLD has had an annual dinner in March of the year that honors outstanding minorities in business and the professions. But about the last 10 to 15 years, it almost became like the Academy Awards, not just the awards to those persons in business and the professions for their achievement, but also major colleges, both the public universities and the private universities, providing 4-year full-ride scholarships, not to student-athletes, but just to ordinary students. And one of the criteria is they participated in a CLD program.
That's right. In fact, the requirement is that those students participate in at least 2 CLD experiences, and the reason that's important to the colleges and universities is because it's yet another endorsement from the colleges and universities, because they're saying the students who go through self-discovery and the students who participate in the college prep summer academy, they are different from students who have not had these types of experiences that the Center for Leadership Development is offering. And we are so impressed with the distinction of those young people who are going through those programs that we're willing to put literally hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line for these young people to get a 4-year education at these respective universities. And so this past March, our 23 college partners awarded a combined $2.7 million in scholarships.
Wait a minute, $2.7 million?
$2.7 million in 1 year to our young people. And so, Amos, I know as this comes to a close, I think it's just important for the community to understand that CLD, through the leadership of Henry Bundles and those founding directors, the city of Indianapolis has been blessed with one of the strongest comprehensive youth development programs in the country dedicated to helping black youth succeed. And as a community, it's our responsibility to make sure that we don't take that for granted, because we have cities from throughout the country actually contacting us and asking if we could replicate, because those communities recognize that they would love to have a CLD type experience, and they could tell us what it means to grow up in a community where you don't have programs at college prep, a success prep. So it's important for us not to take it for granted, but to continue strengthening and giving back to CLD so that it not only stays, but that it continues to grow.
And these colleges, this is not just IU, IUPUI, Ball State, the state schools, but you've got schools at either end of the economic spectrum. Ivy Tech gives a full ride. I never heard of Ivy Tech giving a full ride scholarship to anybody for their programs for CLD people, as well as DePaul, which is the most expensive school in the state, more expensive than Notre Dame. A full ride scholarship at DePaul, that's the cost of 2 Mercedes and a Lexi.
Well, once again, it just says, number one, the trust that the colleges and universities have put in CLD, but it also speaks to the recognition that the colleges understand these students are really sharp. And the colleges, in their own interest, they understand we want the best students. And so why not invest in the Center for Leadership Development, since CLD is preparing young people to be the best? And so the investments have worked well for both sides.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, Colleen Heater is going to talk about when y'all go out here and try to get the big money, to keep the place going, as well as some of the statistics for the Center for Leadership Development. It is CLD Day, a special edition. Uh-oh, somebody just slipped him a check. Amen. See this? It's a good thing.
Steve Jones has just given us a check, but I just have to say, this is nothing new coming from Steve Jones. Steve made a statement that I will never forget when I started at CLD 14 years ago. And Steve, if you allow me to quote it, I said, Steve, it's really unique for you to invest in CLD consistently since you became a professional, since you got out of college. And Steve's comment to me was, I just think the Center for Leadership Development is probably the second most important institution in the Indianapolis African-American community, second only to the church. And I said, Steve, I work hard enough already. Now you just made me work 3 times as hard. And so Steve is supporting again. We do believe it's an important institution. We don't take it for granted. And we just want to make sure that more young people understand that this experience is here so they can take advantage of it.
It's Afternoons with Amos at CLD. We'll be back with our remaining moments after these.
Hi, this is Linda Elsie Clements, and when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
Hardworking staff at the Center for Leadership Development gave me this little factoid. Two of the winners in Tuesday's election were CLD alumni in the same year, in 1983. One is Judge Brenda Roper, who was elected to serve a full term as Center Township Small Claims Court Judge. And the second is Judge-elect Cheryl Lynch, first woman, first African-American woman to be a member of the circuit court judge of Marion County. And they're both graduates of a CLD. Anyway, with special edition of Afternoons with Amos, Colleen Heater is the senior manager of fund development, which means she got to go out here and get the money to do all of these wonderful programs. How can people who are listening who are not alumni of CLD support this organization financially?
There are many ways to do that, but the best way is to go online to our website. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You could do it in your pajamas. www.cldinc.org and make your donation right there online.
And it's tax deductible.
It's tax deductible, every cent.
This is the time of year where some people are looking for an extra tax deduction so they can get some money back in February or March.
Absolutely. But there's another really easy way to make a donation to CLD, and that is through your employer, through payroll deduction. Yeah. Any employer that participates in the United Way campaign, the combined federal campaign, or the state employee charitable campaign can also provide funds to CLD. And that's a really easy way to do it.
So even though you're not a United Way agency and you're not a combined federal campaign agency, whatever, if your employer is a United Way employer or combined federal campaign, what's the other?
The state employee charitable campaign.
You can simply say as part of that donation, I want X to go to the Center for Leadership Development.
Absolutely.
Now, you've been over here, Colleen, you have been a veteran of nonprofit organizations in terms of fundraising. What's different about this one?
I believe the cause. I think it's such a broad, it has such a broad scope. Everybody cares about education. Everyone cares about young people and making life better for them in the future. And it's just amazing the diversity of income and revenue that comes into CLD. Almost every day, someone makes a contribution to CLD. No matter how small it may be, there is such a broad range of support for this organization. And it just makes all of us feel really good.
Ron Brown has been over here at Center for Leadership Development a while, a few years, a bunch of years. How has this organization evolved? And when you see young men and women that you remember from classes, whether it was self-discovery or others, how does that make you feel? Or people stopping you in the street?
Well, I think, in particular, just the growth of being in a new facility like this. I think, Amos, you've known some of the locations you mentioned earlier where CLD has been. And at one time, we only had enough room for 30 youth per session. So now to be having this place full, particularly on weekends and evenings, it's just great for the cities, great for the youth, and it's something we've, you know, been challenged over the years, but we're finally there.
Joy Harmon, when you go out and talk to folks about making this donation, and people say, wait a minute, there's so much things for education. You know, why are you different? Why are you special? What do you tell them?
Well, Amos, as has already been mentioned, we have a wide scope. We start in fourth grade, so starting to instill in the fourth graders, you're going to college or you're going to have a post-secondary education plan. It makes us different. We focus on the character, the academics. That's how CLD is different.
I got to ask Dennis Bland, you know, I've gotten in trouble because I've said, yes, it's important for us to provide quality education, a quality start to education for our four-year-olds, for our pre-K. But I've also said we've got to invest the resources in programs that will help our teens and young adults. you guys are a program that is helping the preteens and the teens to become young adults and better people. From a broad standpoint, are we making a mistake in this city over-focusing on pre-K, which is good, but also not focusing on bringing more resources on to the ages that a Center for Leadership Development and other similar organizations are helping?
That is an important question, and it could be somewhat challenging understanding the strain on resources. I just think we have to be balanced, and we can't go so full tilt in one area that we are no longer providing the resources that will enable us to empower those individuals who are no longer at preschool age or no longer in kindergarten. The reality is there are so many opportunities to make impact with young people where they are, even when they are in high school, even when they're in college or college age, there's still an opportunity to make a difference. And so CLD has proven, as well as other organizations, that if you could provide the intervention, then no matter how old someone is, there's an opportunity to still make an impact where they become thriving, contributing members of society. As the saying goes, they become tax makers and not tax takers. They become contributors to society and not people who take from society. That doesn't happen unless people are first empowered. So it's important at the pre-K level, but it's as important right now when they're in elementary, middle, and high school.
There's about 55, 56,000 African-American students that attend public school in this county. You've got a statistic over there that said just your basic programs in the College Prep Institute touch almost 6,000 kids. That's 10% of the school-age kids that are just in public school African-American in this county.
Well, yes, as I like to say, the hinges of CLD, the door hinges that swung open about 6,000 times this year, that's a whole lot of touches. And that's also encouragement perhaps to the parents who may be thinking that CLD is not for them. They should contact the parents of the 6,000 who have said CLD is certainly for me. The doors are open. We just want to make sure that people are there to take advantage of the opportunity. And Amos, I think it's important to also note this. CLD is available. The question we have to ask ourselves as a community is education and the empowerment of our young people a priority? Is it a value? Because one thing for sure, when I go to the elementary or middle school basketball games, even on a Tuesday afternoon, and you go and you find that the stadiums are full or the basketball arenas are full of people, what that says to me is that there are certain areas in our community that are a priority, and then there are other areas where that are not. And so that's the challenge for a number of parents. We're aware of the Center for Leadership Development, but am I interested in investing in the holistic development as I am interested in helping my young person become a better running back or a better quarterback or a better point guard?
You can find more information about CLD at their website, cldinc.org, cldinc.org, or you can give them a call at 923-8111, or they're here, 2425 North on Dr. Martin Luther King Street, right across from Watkins Park and the Flanner House. Brother Bland, CLD folk. This is the liveliest I think this building has been since y'all opened it all. When the students are not here. See, normally when the students are here, it's lively. See, I livened it up for the afternoon. On Monday, the folks with INHP will be with us. They've got a program that can help repair your home. And they will give us all the information about that on our program Wednesday. Tamika Catchings of the Indiana Fever will be by. We'll find out, is she really going to retire at the end of next season for basketball? What's that all about? Also in our 2 p.m. hour on Wednesday, we will talk live with the superintendent of IPS, Dr. Louis Farabee, find out what's going on in IPS. And then a week from today, it is the annual Moselle Sanders Radiothon, and we'll be out at the food court at Lafayette Square. Yes, there is still a Lafayette Square, y'all. And we'll be out there making sure that we have the dollars necessary to make sure that no one goes hungry on Thanksgiving Day. We want to thank Terry Kenny and all the hardworking folks out here at the Center for Leadership Development. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great weekend. Stay warm. We'll see you Monday live at...